I was just remembering many years ago the first Christmas time that we spent in Yucatan. I had been preaching the gospel in a pueblo by the name of Sacaba, S-A-C-A-B-A, and accents on the last syllable, Sacaba. Those are Mayan names. They didn't have electricity in this pueblo, and we had a Christmas play, if you can believe it. Pitch black night, had this little generator that I used back in those days. I think it would create about 5,000 watts, and it was really good because at each scene we'd turn the lights on. Every place else would be dark. I never will forget that night. That's been almost 50 years ago, a long time. Some things never change, though. Of course, that pueblo now, they have electricity, which is a real blessing to them. If you will, turn with me again to Matthew chapter 2. In this chapter, there are several details about things recorded which God did not choose to reveal. I said details. For instance, how many wise men was there? And exactly where did they come from? How old would the Lord Jesus have been when the wise men arrived? These details not being revealed, and thus not necessary for us to know, but it has opened the door for men to conjecture and speculate to no end. Men speculate, conjecture, that the number of the wise men was 3, but some have believed that there was actually 13, and others have taken the number 3 because of the 3 gifts which were presented there to the Lord Jesus Christ. Then there have been those, and still those, who claim they know the names of these wise men. And at one time, they were teaching that they actually had the sepulchres of the 3 wise men that people could visit, and it was like a shrine, or shrines, I should say. Men conjecture on the age. How old would the Lord Jesus Christ have been at this time? Some say, well, he was only a few months of age. And others, of course, because of what Herod did, believe he was probably 2 years of age. And there are other details that the Lord has not chosen to reveal. And I think, when I see things like this, I think of that verse in the latter part of the Gospel of John. When John said, but these are written. He said, many other miracles our Lord did. They're not all recorded. And not all the details about the Savior and his birth and his life in this world. They're not all recorded. But these are written. And they are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name or through him. These things are written that we might believe, and believing in him, we might have life, might have eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Tonight, I have 2 lessons that I want to bring out to us from these verses. First, I want to impress upon us again the faithfulness and the accuracy of God's Word. To this point, when this chapter begins, to this point, in the record of our Lord's life in this world, we have Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14 fulfilled. To this point, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. If you look back to chapter 1, Matthew chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, we read, now all this was done that it might be fulfilled. God's word. That God's word might be fulfilled. That the truth of God's word might be manifested. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold. Now, Isaiah lived some 600 to 700 years before the birth of the Savior. But God's word is settled, the scriptures tell us. In the book of Psalms, we read, God's word, this written word of God is settled in the heavens. And nothing shall shake God's word. God's word is true, it's faithful, it's accurate. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. And you see how that is written there. A virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son. And in the prophecy in Isaiah, we are told a child is born, a son is given. He was a child of Mary, that is, the child in the lineage of David as his humanity, but he is the Son of God. A son was given. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. A virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Now, when Herod asked the religious leaders, here these wise men came to Jerusalem, and they asked, where is he that is born King of the Jews? Notice in verses 5 and 6, Herod asked the high priest in verse 4, when he had gathered all the priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. Now Micah, this is a prophet that he has reference to here. Micah also lived about 700 years before the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he had prophesied, saying, but thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, and it was pointed out that it was this Bethlehem, because we are told in the Old Testament of another Bethlehem, but it was this Bethlehem that was in the tribe of Judah, in their parcel of land that they inherited. Though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel. Ruler, king, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Now that prophecy clearly foretold that he would be a son given, whose goings forth have been from of old, but at the same time he would be a child born, the incarnation, the miracle of miracles, we might say, the miracle of miracles that God, Almighty God, came into this world, was born into this world as the man Christ Jesus. In John chapter 1, we are told the Word that was in the beginning with God, the Word that was God, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, the apostle writes. The wise men asked this question, Where, notice in verse 2, where is he that is born king of the Jews? But notice what Matthew writes here, that when Herod inquired of the priest, he didn't say, where is he that is born king of the Jews? Although he did, but he said, where is he that is born Christ, where Christ should be born. Now the term, the title Christ, what does that mean? It means anointed. It means anointed. And it is the Old Testament equivalent. It's a Greek Christos. It's a New Testament word for that Old Testament word, Messiah. But both mean the same thing. And they both declare the anointed. Where, Herod asked, where? He demanded of them where the anointed, the promised Messiah, where he should be born. Now, in the Old Testament, we read of kings who were anointed. They were anointed to be kings. We read of prophets that were anointed to the office of prophecy. And we read of priests who were anointed. They were all anointed with oil. We know that. But that oil was symbolic. It was an emblem or a picture of God the Holy Spirit. And when the Lord Jesus Christ began his ministry, his public ministry, after his baptism, after the temptation in the wilderness, and then returning to Nazareth, he found that place in the book of Isaiah, which declared, behold, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He was the one who was anointed as prophet, priest, and king. In the Old Testament, those men had only pictured our Savior. So the prophet said he's going to be born in Bethlehem. And that's exactly where he was born. In Bethlehem. And of course, in Luke chapter 2, we learn how it is that Joseph and his promised wife, Mary, how they ended up in Bethlehem at the time that she was delivered of her child. You say, well, that was convenient, wasn't it? Yes, it was convenient. It was prophesied. And it was purposed by God. And God, as the scriptures tell us, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. And as the water brooks, he has the power to turn the course of the rivers. So the course of the king's heart, and it came into the king's heart to tax all the world, all the known world that the Caesar ruled over. Augustus Caesar ruled over at that time. And he didn't just want the world to be taxed, but he wanted everyone to be registered and taxed in the town of their family, their heritage. And so Joseph, being of the tribe of Judah, and Mary also of the tribe of Judah, they had to go back to their home place, that is to Bethlehem. And isn't it wonderful when you think, do you know what Bethlehem means? You know, Bible words and Bible names, for the most part, they all have meanings. And they have meanings for a purpose. And do you know what Bethlehem means? It means the house of bread. The house of bread. And isn't it only fitting that he who is the true bread which came down from heaven, that he be born in a city named the House of Bread. I always like to mention the fact that that Mephibosheth, remember Mephibosheth who was lame on both of his legs, and when David became king, it was customary that the king would just kill all the descendants of the previous king or house that might pose some kind of a threat to his throne. And David sends and fetches Mephibosheth. You know where Mephibosheth was living? He was living in a place called no bread, no pasture. That's where he was. And that's where all of us are. That's where we are when we come into this world. And the king, David, sent and said, fetch him, fetch him. And there was no discussion. When the king, in the word of a king, there's power, the scripture says. And when the king said, fetch him, he came and fell down before David and confessed himself to be a dead dog sinner. And yet, because of that covenant that God had made with Mephibosheth's father, Jonathan, what happened? Mephibosheth was received and ate at David's table as long as he was king in Jerusalem. But he had his birth, the Lord Jesus did, in the house of the house of bread, Bethlehem. Now, and what I'm pointing out, or what I want to point out to us here, is the exactness, the accuracy, the faithfulness of the Word of God. God said 600 plus years before the birth of Christ that he would be born of a virgin. He was born of a virgin. God said through the prophet that he would be born in the city of Bethlehem. And he was born in Bethlehem. Now, if you notice in verse 11 here, when the wise men fell down and worshiped him, I see that this too is the fulfillment of prophecy. What prophecy? Now, listen, as I've already said, we do not know how many wise men there was, but we do know this. They were Gentiles. They were Gentiles. And I see this also as a fulfillment of prophecy. They were the precursors of the many Gentiles who have been grafted in since the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world. But in Isaiah, it was said, I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, speaking to his servant. I have called thee in righteousness and will hold thy hand and will keep thee and give thee for a covenant of the people, listen, for a light of the Gentiles. Now here these Gentiles, these wise men come, and it was a light which had directed their path to where the Lord was at this time. And they saw the star when they left Jerusalem. It seems like that they saw the star, they left their country and came, and then the star evidently was not there. And so they asked, where is he that is born King of the Jews? And when told, immediately the star appears, and they follow that star, and it leads them a light. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ is the light of the world. But it was a light which led these wise men to the place where Christ was at that time. Also in Isaiah 49 and verse 6, I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. The Gentiles who came at his birth, they came to worship him. And as I said, they were just the beginning, the first fruits of all the Gentiles who have come to Christ to worship him. In Acts chapter 13, remember the Apostle Paul told the Jews there that if they judge themselves unworthy of eternal life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. And from that day on, mainly Gentiles have made up the saved, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I see this also as a fulfillment of prophecy. And it is also believed that these wise men, they were somehow familiar with the prophecy of Balaam. Now remember, Balaam was a false prophet. And Balak, the king of Moab, hired him to come and curse Israel when they came out of Egypt. And Balaam, he spoke what God the Holy Spirit put into his mouth. I preached a message some time back from the words, part of the words of Balaam, a false prophet. And yet the words which he spoke, they were put into his mouth by God the Holy Spirit. And what a testimony to the truthfulness about God. But he also said this, there shall come a star out of Jacob. There shall come a star out of Jacob and a scepter. Now, when he said, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, what does a scepter refer to there? It refers to authority. A king had a scepter with which he would reign and decree. And so when Balaam testified, there shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter, a king, shall rise out of Israel. No wonder they came asking, where is he that is born king of the Jews? So, again, we see the accuracy and we see the faithfulness of the prophecies of the Word of God. Now, here's another place when the Lord commanded Joseph to take the young child into Egypt. This meant that another prophecy would be fulfilled after Herod's death. That prophecy is found in verse 15. Out of Egypt have I called my son. Now, the Old Testament scripture there is Hosea chapter 11 and verse 1. When God said, when Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. But I believe this was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is Israel going into Egypt. Now, they were in Egypt 430 years. They were not destroyed. They were preserved. And yet, God called them out of Egypt. And they were a type, they served as a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. How he, too, was taken into Egypt and preserved from the wrath of Herod and brought back out, delivered out. Now, when Joseph brought Mary, and notice how the angel speaks to Joseph in a dream, take the young child and his mother. He never says, take your wife and child, does he? Because the Lord Jesus Christ was not the son of Joseph. He was born of a virgin. No, take the young child and his mother and go into Egypt. And then, when Herod had died, the angel came again and told him, now return into the land of Israel. Verse 23, it says, and he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth. This, as it goes on to say, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. This prophecy, if you look back to Isaiah chapter 11, in Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 1, we read, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Now, Jesse was the father of David. And what we see here is, here's this King David, his family, they've been reduced down to where they're compared to a tree, a big tree at one time, a great tree, but it's been cut down. And Joseph is a descendant in the royal line, but he's a carpenter. But out of that root... out of that root shall grow a branch. And that word branch there is a Hebrew word spelled N-E-T-Z-E-R. That there shall come a netzer. And what that refers to or shows us here, how he was called a Nazarene. and the people called him Jesus of Nazareth. But it's all in fulfillment of the prophecy, of the Word of God. What confidence you and I should have in God's Word. God's Word is true, and none of it, no prophecy, none of it shall ever fall to the ground. It'll never be overturned. No, what God has declared will come to pass. It will come to pass because this is God's Word. And every prophecy and promise in God's Word concerning our Lord's first coming, we see these prophecies fulfilled one after the other after the other. And just as those prophecies were all fulfilled, you and I, we have confidence, so the prophecies concerning His second coming will be fulfilled. Just as His birth, those prophecies were fulfilled at the time God had appointed, so His second coming, the prophecies that refer to His second coming, they too will be fulfilled exactly at the time that God has determined. That scripture in Ecclesiastes tells us there's a time for everything. There's a time for everything. There was a time for Christ to be born. There is a time, rather, for Him to return again. Therefore, He said, be ye also ready. For in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. And every one of us, as we hear those words of our Savior, we need to ask ourselves, am I ready? Am I ready? He came at the time God had appointed, and He's coming again at the time God has appointed. And it could be tonight. It could be tonight. Am I ready? Am I ready to meet Him when He comes again? And if I'm not, I should be. If I'm not, I must be. Now, the second thing, and I'll be very brief here, but we see, the first thing, we see how God's Word is faithful, it's accurate, trustworthy. But second, consider God's protecting and providing power. God protected His Son from King Herod's sword. I thought about Brother Streeter's lesson last Sunday concerning the birth of John the Baptist, when that angel told Zacharias that his son would be great. You know, this Herod, he's Herod the Great. And the only thing great about this Herod was his wickedness. He was a wicked and an evil man. I don't remember how many of his own family he had killed. But when he had one of his sons killed, Caesar Augustus, it is reported, made this statement, it'd be better to be Herod's hog than one of his sons. He was a ruthless, evil man. To send and command that all of these children, 2 years and younger, should be slaughtered. You say, well, surely he didn't do that. Oh, yes, he did. He was capable of doing that. He had proved that before this. He didn't live long after this. That's true. Have you ever wondered, why didn't the Jews, they told him where the king was to be born, where Christ was to be born, why didn't they go? Well, I know the scripture says he came unto his own and his own received him not. I understand that. But listen, if any of those men had gone to Bethlehem, they would have just been signing their death warrant because Herod would not have allowed that. He was determined to remain king. He was one of of the rulers, one of the Herods that was allowed that title, king. I think he was the only one who was allowed that title. And he was given that title by the Roman Emperor Caesar. But after his death, his son became ruler, but not a king. God delivered his son. Herod had his plans, but God protected and preserved his son. Think about this. He came into this world to die. He did. He came into this world to die, to ransom his people. But he would not die in infancy. He would not die until he himself would give his life, lay down his life. God protects. God protected his son, and we know that God protects and keeps his children just as he did his son. We have that confidence ourselves. And number two, God provided for his son. They're going to spend some time. We don't know how long. It doesn't matter. But they're going to spend some time in Egypt. How are they going to live? How are they going to buy food? How are they going to pay rent? How's that going to be taken? God took care of it. These wise men, the gifts that they brought, the gold and the frankincense and the myrrh, no doubt was used to provide for the son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as well as his mother Mary and Joseph. And so God provided for his son as he does for all of his children. He provides for his sons and daughters. Let's close with this scripture over here in Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28. Our Lord said, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear you not, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows." Just as God provided for his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, protected him, preserved him in Egypt, so God preserves, protects, and provides for all of his children in this world. I pray the Lord would bless his word to us here this evening. We'll sing a hymn and we'll be dismissed.